It's deja vu. This moment's happened before.
You have found the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Hello, and welcome to the Kaleidoscope Gallery. I'm your host, Paul Edwards, and alongside Kaleidoscope Gallery contributor Dave, we will be chatting about The Line, an ambitious plan to build a smart city in the Saudi Arabian desert, and a nuclear-powered flying hotel dubbed the Flytanic. The gas giant Jupiter and the theory that the planet consumed other smaller planets. The various conspiracy theories surrounding the Large Hadron Collider at CERN. Owning a star and becoming a Scottish lord. And a random book I found while walking along my street and its curious subject matter. And more. So let's get into this conversation inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Thank you very much for joining, Dave, because
this is fantastic. It's always good to be in the gallery. That's where, like, light changes into patterns.
That book that I found, isn't that wild?
That's a book? I thought it was a flyer.
No, it's a book, and it's called Chant and Be Happy, The Power of Mantra Meditation. Based on the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhurapada. Featuring exclusive conversations with John Lennon and George Harrison. And I have to say that John Lennon doesn't have that much to say about it, but George Harrison does have a lot to say. And basically, this is an advertisement for the Hare Krishna.
Mantras are, well, they call it a mystical sound vibration encased in a syllable. They has this power within it, and you know, it's just hypnotic, and it's kind of nice, you know. It's nice. I mean, once I chanted it for like 3 days non-stop, and you just get like hypnotized on some subtle level, which makes you feel so good that you don't want to stop.
Hare Krishna.
And the idea is that if you learn the power of chanting the mantra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's going to solve all your problems. The one catch is that you have to get other people to, you have to recruit other people.
Yeah, and you got to shave your head and wear a weird sort of skin-colored robe. Those robes are really unattractive.
And go to the airport.
Oh, that's the best way to get other people, because they're neither here nor there.
I seem to remember there was a Hare Krishna scene in the movie Airport or Airplane.
Yes. They gave him a good right cross, yeah. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna.
Do you feel enlightened now?
I feel a little better than I did before I sang that. Just a little.
That's good. Apparently the chant, the proper chant, is Hare Krishna times 5, and then you have to say Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Okay, so let's go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
One more time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But I did see a really interesting headline, which I wasn't able to read the article because I'm not a subscriber. But apparently, in Saudi Arabia, they're building the biggest structure in history. But it's not going up. It's a 433-kilometer wide apartment building that runs from the ocean across the mountains into the desert. We've got to dig in on that one in terms of future cities.
For too long, humanity has existed within dysfunctional and polluted cities that ignore nature. Now, a revolution in civilization is taking place. Imagine a traditional city and consolidating its footprint. Designed by world-leading architects, the line is 500 meters tall, 200 meters wide, 170 kilometers long, and housed within an elegant mirror glass facade.
Would you move to a futuristic city in the middle of the desert? Over the next 4 years, Saudi Arabia is set to spend a whopping $500 billion to build a futuristic city. The line is not intended to be a traditional city, but rather a linear metropolis, 3 miles wide and 150 miles long for 1 million people.
Damn, so we talked about megastructures in the future cities, and even perhaps like a 10,000-story tall apartment building, apartment complex. But this is 300 kilometers wide?
It's like the Great Wall of China as a condo. Like if they'd built condos in the Great Wall of China, that's what this is. Yeah, look it up. There's got to be an article somewhere other than the Wall Street Journal.
All right, Architectural Digest. No, Digest. This is, I think, a reliable source here, Dave. Saudi Arabia building 100-mile-long linear city.
It's a big building.
Yes. And so everything runs along a central spine. Artificial intelligence will improve the daily life for residents and businesses alike. With a projected 90% of available data harnessed to enhance infrastructure capabilities, so the thing's going to survey you. The entire line of this city is this one big surveillance strip.
With high-speed transportation across it.
Yeah. Wow. It's billed as a living laboratory. It will incorporate towns, cities.
But it's only an outpost. It's the first outpost of NEOM, a $500 billion, 10,000-square-mile city-state. NEOM, by the way, is a portmanteau of the Greek word neos, or new, and Mustakaval, Arabic for future.
That's pretty cool, I gotta say. That's a cool name.
It's a future city.
Yes, this is definitely a future city. Will they have like a football team?
It says they're gonna have a Jurassic Park style amusement park with robotic dinosaurs.
The place isn't even wide enough for a football field, right?
I don't think so. I think it's like, I don't know. It's pretty amazing. But it can't be that thick.
wide. Confidential documents mention plans for flying drone taxis. But, I mean, all plans, and a confidential, but anyway, all documents and plans right now are calling for flying drone taxis, but we haven't seen them yet. Wow. Even the region's stark landscape would be transformed with cloud seeding machines, glow-in-the-dark sand, and a giant artificial moon that would light up every night.
What? Why do they need an artificial moon? It's still on the planet. They can see the regular moon. And what's... What? What did? What else was there in that list of artificial moon? There's...
A glow-in-the-dark sand?
Glow. Why do you need the sand to glow in the dark?
Because it helps you see, like when you're walking at night, and all you have to see is the sand, then it helps guide the way. I don't know, a cloud seeding machines, I guess, is to make it rain.
This is going to be three layers, the pedestrian layer, the service layer, and the spine layer. And the spine layer takes the ultra-high-speed transit, and the pedestrian layer looks like it has trees, service layer, invisible layer of infrastructure, that's probably, you know, that's the downstairs or whatever.
Well, that's where all the dark art of surveilling takes place.
Jeez.
But it's interesting. I mean, we'll have to see how this develops. We'll keep our eye on it because eventually they're claiming it's going to have the highest density of Michelin-starred restaurants. So, and there is a proposal to allow alcohol.
I don't think they're going to get people to move there if they don't allow alcohol.
You even have a Michelin-starred restaurant that didn't serve alcohol?
Yeah, exactly. Here's your glass of grape juice. Or what's the penthouse like in the 100-kilometer building? Like, does it go across 100 kilometers?
What's the best, the most prestigious place to be in this?
You probably want to be by the sea or by the edge of the desert. You want to be at one of the end units.
Introducing Sky Cruise, a nuclear-powered hotel suspended above the clouds. This futuristic sky hotel gives you the ultimate travel experience. It's big enough to accommodate over 5,000 guests. Its sleek design combines the features of a commercial plane while offering the epitome of luxury. Sky Cruise features a big hall that offers a 360-degree view of your surroundings. Here, you get to enjoy the most breathtaking views of nature from above. The main entertainment deck is perfect for recreational activities. It features shopping malls, sports centers, swimming pools, restaurants, bars, playgrounds for children, theaters, and cinemas. And if you want to declare your love above the clouds, Sky Cruise's wedding halls give you and your partner, along with your guests, a unique, memorable experience.
So Dave, as you know, in the ongoing search for a venue to host a landmark birthday that I'm having later this year, I think I may have come up with another candidate. Well, first we had the party submarine.
Yes.
And then we had the, what was the other one?
The balloon.
The party balloon that goes to the edge of space. We've got another one here. Watch the nuclear-powered flying hotel that can stay airborne for years with 5,000 passengers. Do you see this here, Dave?
It's quite bulbous.
It is very bulbous. And I was thinking that, do you think 5 years is too long for a party?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's no way. they can store 5 years worth of food for 5,000 people on that vehicle. Like, the food restocking ships are what they're forgetting about. Like, George Harrison's in there, and he's, like, eating all the food. And it's when everybody else tries to join him, like, there's going to be no food left. And what are they going to do? Send, like, a food restocking ship? Like, this is supposed to be for the apocalypse. There's no food restocking ship. George Harrison and, like, Bill Clinton are going to be eating each other by the end of it. That's the only... That's how this ends.
Yes.
With George Harrison having a Bill Clinton steak, because for sure George Harrison will win the Who Eats Who battle there.
Actually, this is being dubbed the Flytanic, and it's powered by nuclear fusion. The ship will be able to remain afloat for years, all without carbon emissions, and the ship will be steered by, you guessed it, artificial intelligence. The massive ship will also have cinema halls, theaters, and games rooms, and even venues for people to get married. I mean, that is pretty important if you want people to, you know, buy tickets to a 5-year-long cruise. You have to at least provide some wedding facilities.
Oh, for sure. You should be. I think everybody on that plane is. You can at least have 3 spouses. So, I mean, like, every second week, there's going to be a wedding.
Yeah. But the challenging thing is that, like, because for speaking for myself, I don't think I could actually, I don't think I know 5,000 people. So I couldn't personally invite 5,000 people.
You definitely know 5,000 people. You've been on this planet for a while. I've seen you. You've met people.
Yeah, that's a question, Noah. Do you wonder how many people that you've ever met, or how many people you can say you know? If knowing someone was by even having the slightest acquaintance, how many people do you think you know?
More than that, for sure.
More than 5,000 people?
Oh, my goodness. Looking at this thing rise above the clouds, it's just bonkers. It's like a beluga whale with wings. All I know is that, like, Jimmy Buffett and fucking Bill Clinton and Howard Hughes are all on there. They're waiting for Obama and his kids to join. But he's like, not quite yet.
Yeah, because, imagine if you were an entertainer on this nuclear-powered sky hotel, or the Skytanic, Flytanic, that you'd have to be a 5-year stint.
You mean if you're the piano man or whatever? Yeah, that's a long gig. And, of course, piano man gets eaten long before either Bill Clinton or George Harrison. The piano man, you're going to eat his fucking fingers.
I love the piano man with a big empty bar glass full of a couple of, you know, dollars.
Yeah, for the first 2 years, you're like, you eat everything, and then you're like, I want the fingers, because it's kind of like a wing. Then you eat the fingers, and then he's just banging on the pianos with his fist, making discordant fucking, and everyone's trying to sing along.
Because I know that, Dave, you told me that you're into cruise ships, something that I wouldn't necessarily say that I would think you were.
It's beautiful. Like that, well, a good cruise is like a floating magical hotel. You get your own balcony on the sea, and every morning you wake up on a new island. And the cruise doesn't cruise all day. You get out. You wake up somewhere new. You get out. You like go to the beach. You eat something. You get back on the cruise. You hit the taco bar. You hit the pool. You hit the dinner. You hit the late seating, you hit the 9 clubs, you hit the fucking late night snack, then you go to the all day buffet, you eat the taco bar.
And you don't sleep at all.
Oh, you sleep like a baby, because you're just like slightly rocking across the sea.
With a radius of about 70,000 kilometers, Jupiter is the largest planet in the solar system. But how did it get so massive? I'm Eric Malachite, and today on ScienceGet, we're talking about a new study that suggests a shocking reason for Jupiter's size. Since its discovery, scientists have speculated on how the gas giant became so massive. But as far as what caused it to get so massive, there are two different theories. One theory is that the gas giant swallowed a lot of quote-unquote pebbles. No, not the kind of pebbles that you might find in your backyard, but rather meteorites around the size of boulders. The second theory of how Jupiter might have expanded to its current size rejects the idea that it got so massive by swallowing boulder-sized meteorites, but rather that it consumed still-forming planets. And it is this theory that this new simulation and study seems to support.
This is from an article in Time Out from timeout.com. Bizarre news story of the day. Jupiter apparently eats other planets. A new report suggests that the king of planets has remains of other planets hidden inside. The strength and the gravity and the exceptionally dense dry atmosphere has basically attracted ancient dead planets into its body.
Well, I mean, the solar system's always been like a grand buffet. There used to be like 300 planets, and Jupiter just went nuts and ate most of them.
Yes, yes, I like that idea that the inside, like the, like, it doesn't really per se eat them. It just subsumes them. It just sucks them in. Ginormous, monstrous self, and that's how it's grown so big. Apparently, this paper suggests that
maybe it's time to put Jupiter on a hard diet. It's getting a little too big.
Apparently, the chemical makeup of the planet's core indicates that Jupiter likely swallowed up lots of small planets called planetesimals.
Planetesimals.
And space rocks. Planetesimals. I guess it's like infinitesimal, you know, planetesimal, the smallest object that could still be considered a planet, perhaps.
Yeah, like the stone you throw in the lake is just a planetesimal. Tiny little planetesimal.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the beach, the sand on the beach is just tiny planetesimals.
You are inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
So today we're going to talk a bit about fashion and why NASA clothing is so popular. All of a sudden you're seeing people wearing NASA shirts, NASA jackets, NASA shoes. My entire life I've lived and no one was talking about NASA, especially supposedly the cool people. And the only time you'd hear about NASA my entire life is whenever there was a launch, which is very rare. But now, for whatever reason, you're seeing NASA clothing everywhere.
Do you know you can license the NASA logo to put on anything you want for free? And yeah, like NASA has become like the most popular fashion logo, and yet NASA makes no money off of that. And NASA is seriously underfunded. If NASA started to make money off the NASA logo, NASA could fund a trip to Jupiter and get in on some of this planet eating. They could organize a planet eating contest with that kind of money.
It's interesting that you mention that, because I have been seeing more NASA logos on t-shirts and hats lately. I thought to myself, oh, I guess NASA's kind of popular. And it was with younger people.
Yes, it's very popular.
And it's so but it's because you can put it, you can print a T-shirt up with the NASA logo, and you don't have to pay NASA any royalties.
It's a terrible missed opportunity. I read the article and realized, like, that big, expensive fashion houses are taking the NASA logo and selling them on clothing for insane sums of money. And NASA can't even send someone to the space station. They need Elon Musk to do that. But that's where Uber should be going, if I were to say, like, it should be Uber Space.
So there's a popular conspiracy theory going around that started from the July 5th Large Hadron Collider opening. And the conspiracy theory goes that it opened a portal to another dimension and now is letting evil spirits go into our universe.
Hi guys, if you scroll past this video, I have really an important message to tell you, and it's about the portal that is going to be open on July 5th. So the scientists, if you heard about CERN, I will post more information as in YouTube video, but they're opening a portal to the other dimension where the other universes, they know this, they're just trying to hide it from us. So what this portal does, it actually opens a gateway to the future. And this is the best time for you to manifest, okay?
Our last conversation, we were talking about the Large Hadron Collider coming back online.
Atom smashing.
The Atom Smasher. And I've got something for you here that you might find interesting. People think scientists are opening hell portals with this particle collider.
Hell portals.
Yes. The Large Hadron Collider is back online, and conspiracy theorists are worried it will invite all sorts of interdimensional evils into our world.
Yep. Well, you know, the hell portal opened up and mankind just walked straight through it.
One of the things about the CERN building was where the Large Hadron Collider is housed. In front of the building, they have a giant statue of
Satan?
Shiva, the destroyer from the Hindu religion. And so that has spurred some people to think that that's a sign that they are in fact summoning interdimensional beings.
Well, they for sure are. Like, that's the whole point. Like, if they're not passing that gravitron through the membrane, they're not succeeding. And until they succeed, they'll just keep smashing atoms and praying to Shiva that something disappears.
Yes. Yes. And that perhaps there's the shadow people conspiracy. In this explanation, CERN is inviting in shadow people from another dimension.
Somewhere along the line of your life, you've met them. You have come in contact with the shadow people.
Well, I suppose if something could disappear, something else could appear. Like, if you're looking to make something disappear to another dimension, you're just as likely to see a visitor from another dimension. And who knows if that's a shadow person or a stray gravitron that can morph into some kind of spider form. Could be anything. Could be a round tree chocolate drink.
Yeah, actually, Brown Tree. That's interesting. You mentioned that. That's like a British brand, isn't it?
I don't know where that came from. Maybe the other dimension. Someone's been smashing that, and that someone is bourbon.
And here's another theory. Is that when the Large Hadron Collider was turned back on, humanity switched timelines. And we're in a parallel timeline.
Yeah, it's not a good one. It's the timeline where we forgot how to, like, keep terrible diseases at bay. That's like polio is back. Like, really? Come on.
Or disco music is still popular?
Well, I mean, I don't know why disco music ever went away. Polio, I understand why that went away. Like, we figured some shit out. Why is it back? Why is smallpox back? It's because the vaccine makers made a shit ton of money in the last 2 years. And they're like, we need to fucking scare them into getting some more fucking jabs.
Or monkeypox is a good one.
Monkeypox. It's basically just like, oh yeah, no problem. Smallpox and polio are back in the year 2022.
Here's one. A lot of people are discounting how serious. This is a quote, actually, I should say, from a conspiracist who says, conspiracy theorist, a lot of people are discounting how serious the CERN Hadron Collider agenda truly is. It's not like beings emerge from a portal and instantly kill everyone. That's not how satanic rituals work. The ramifications of what happened yesterday will unfold in the coming months. So I guess we'll have to wait for these transdimensional shadow people. We'll see how this plays out, in other words, right?
I mean, shadow people sounds like total bullshit. Like, I think that you can see a gravitron going between the dimensions, but I don't know if, like, some crazy person's coming through.
Because I guess if you were an interdimensional being, you'd be on the lookout for atom smashers, right? You'd...
If that was the only way across, I guess.
It's like, if you're a hitchhiker, an interdimensional hitchhiker, you have to know where all the Large Hadron Collider type places are.
I suppose that's true. But I mean, as a shadow person, why would I want to be smashed in a Hadron Collider? It's not like it's going on like a smooth cruise across the Caribbean Sea. You're going to be shot out through like a 22-kilometer tube designed to like break every base element in your body into its smallest pieces and hopefully have part of it disappear.
You are listening to The Kaleidoscope Gallery. The Kaleidoscope Gallery.
People were out observing the aurora, and they started noticing something that was overhead as well when they were seeing the aurora far to the northern regions. It was unlike most aurora. Talk to the scientists, we didn't know what it was. And together, they said, we'll keep taking observations and we'll call it Steve in the meantime. Steve is mostly a very narrow purple arc, and sometimes it has these little green features that go along with it as well that are kind of like waving fingers or a picket fence. That means that there's plasma physics happening up there to cause that light and to make these little discrete features that we don't understand yet.
Have you looked on spaceweather.com?
No, but that's one of your favorite sites, isn't it?
It is. I checked it today. Open it up. There are some interesting things about a solar a swath of solar radiation which created a lavender oral display which was not the aurora, but rather a river of solar-charged particles flowing down from the sun into our atmosphere.
Spaceweather.com. CME impact sparks aurora. And Steve.
Steve is what I'm talking about. That's the river. They got a picture of Steve there.
At about 12 midnight, I noticed a familiar light. A familiar light purple vertical glow to the east, reports Greg Ash of Ely, Minnesota. It was Steve. The fuck is Steve?
It's a strong thermal emission velocity enhancement. We only recently discovered Steve's.
Laurie Kankus of Ontario, Canada, which of course is where we live, saw Steve too. It was quite an active display with green pickets dancing the Milky Way amongst the satellites and airplanes. Says Kankus. Steve appeared and disappeared several times over an hour around midnight. So CME is a coronal mass ejection.
Yeah.
Ejection.
Yeah, it's an ejection out of the sun.
A solar tsunami eruption on July 21st arrived within 1 hour of their forecast. So they were aware of this Steve guy bursting out of the sun.
Steve came and Steve conquered. This space weather thing, it makes their money off, like, sending these like necklaces into space and then selling them at a premium because they've been in space. Yeah, this you could are you looking for a far out gift? Consider the sterling silver dragonfly. This winged pendant hitched a ride on board Earth to Sky Calculus Cosmic Ray Balloon, flying 113,451 feet above the Sierra Nevada mountains of California. You can have it for $172.92. Dragonfly's heart is a Celtic love knot, and its wings are decorated with blue marquee crystals, all played with 14-karat white gold. It's an exquisite ensemble for birthdays, anniversaries, or other romantic occasions. The students are selling Dragonfly pendants to support their Cosmic Ray Ballooning program. Each one comes with a greeting card showing the pendant in flight and telling the story of its trip to the stratosphere and back again.
Wow, that's like that service where you can a star is named after you. They just pick a kind of random star in the galaxy and they sell you a certificate that now that it's named after you.
I like that. That's a good idea. So many stars, so much money.
I thought I would give you a gift. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but you can have your own star. And I bought you a star. And you now have your very own star in the solar system, okay? And that's a certificate that you have a star named after you. How about that?
And another good one is, have you heard of this where you can become a Scottish lord?
No, sign me up, though.
As the holidays approach, you may be asking yourself, what do I get for that person who has everything? Well, in the case of George, or should I say Lord George, you get him the gift of nobility. Everybody at home, you too, can become a lord or a lady. It's a website called Highland Titles. It allows you to purchase a plot of land in the Glencoe Woods in Scotland. It costs $48, and yeah, it's only 1 square foot, but that is enough to make you a lord or lady.
All you have to do is buy a square meter of land in Scotland for like £500, and you get a title that calls you like Lord Dave of Glamorgan.
Of the square meter?
Exactly. It's a legal title, but you only own a square meter.
I would do that, and I would also build a structure on that square meter. That would be where I'd build my giant condo, 1 meter condo. Each condo is 20 stories high, but it's only 1 meter. You can't lie down in it, but you can lie up. He sleeps sitting or standing.
And some people would elect to go upside down in it for variety.
Oh, for sure.
It would be 20,000 floors high, but it would only have 200 people in it.
No, that's like a bachelor. A family unit would be like 7,000 stories. If I got a certificate that said I was the Lord, and I could put that on my, American Express or whatever. I don't have an American Express, but if I was a Lord, I would definitely have one.
So, Dave, I want to thank you very much for joining us in the a conversation inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
It's always shapely and bright, changing, prismatic.
You have been listening to the many colors of the Kaleidoscope Gallery.